From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan with our CD look ahead for fall 2006.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough.
And we're here today with some short-haired, though not narrow-minded, music critics who will help us through this maze of new releases for this fall. NPR's Tom Moon in Philadelphia. Tom also writes NPR.org's weekly column, Shadow Classics, and contributes to our Song of the Day. Welcome, Tom Moon, in Philadelphia.
Great to be here.
And in New York City, Meredith Oakes is a DJ for Sirius Satellite Radio. Across from her, in our table, our newest cohort, and a dean to us all, longtime writer for The Village Voice, and soon to be a new writer for NPR, Robert Christgau. Welcome.
I need a job. I got one, but I need more.
You hear that, everybody? Robert Christgau looking for work. He's known for more than 35 years of music reviews under his Consumer Guide. We're certainly glad to have you with us. It's just been great working with you over the last week or so, and a thrill to have you.
It's been fun.
And in Albany, alone in a studio in Albany, is Will Hermes. Greetings, Will.
How you doing?
So we started off today with a small clip from Gimme Some Truth. It's a John Lennon song that came out 35 years ago this month, and it's featured in a soundtrack to an upcoming film about John Lennon called The U.S. versus John Lennon. So everyone's brought some music to the table today. There's CDs coming out this fall. Is there an artist amongst any of these folks, anybody, that speaks to us as directly and as passionately as Lennon did in 1971?
Craig Finn?
Well, no. No artist will ever speak to us as directly. That's not a fair, including Bob Dylan, including Mick Jagger, including Solomon Burke, including whoever you want.
Uh-huh.
Is there somebody who speaks relatively directly?
Okay, I'll take the relatively
Willie
directly.
Nelson. Willie Nelson. I got Willie Nelson. He's a relatively direct fellow.
And has a new record coming out.
And he got busted just the other day, actually.
For what?
Marijuana. Pound and a half of weed.
Pound and a half of weed and some
and
mushrooms.
Who busted him?
State Trooper in Louisiana.
So besides that record that Willie set, what record is he putting out?
It's not a very good Willie Nelson record, I don't think, although they're going to pretend that it is. Songbird, produced by Ryan Adams. That's the hook. I mean, you know, the Willie Nelson records with hooks and concepts, like the Daniel Lanois one, I always thought that was kind of a dog teatro. It's got good stuff on it.
The last record he made, the songs of
Cindy Walker.
That's a good concept. Then there was the reggae one. Not such a good concept.
Right.
Always sounded
not
like
so
a great idea. I heard about that record 5 years ago. It finally came out. Well, but the Cindy Walker record was really good. I agree.
Great songs.
So tell us about the new CD. Who's heard that?
Here the concept is Ryan Robert Adams. Christgau. That's strike one.
Right. Backing him up, too, as well as producing.
Right, and then what's the concept? Well, if it's Ryan Adams, it has to be his band, the Cardinals. Right. Not a band that anybody else but Ryan Adams thinks is so great.
Pretty good. Cindy Cash Dollar, though. Pretty good slide guitarist. She makes that band shine.
I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm saying it's nothing special.
Well, Robert, pick me one song on the record that...
The one I think is best is a Leonard Cohen song called Hallelujah.
Oh, wonderful.
A secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Well, it's a tough act to follow. Loving the Leonard Cohen version and hearing so many other great covers of that song.
Well, I mean, you know, Nelson's like Cohen in that he's supposedly not really a singer, only he's really a singer. And he does that I am just talking to you thing, only he's very musical. So it's a great, great version, I think.
Yeah, there are a whole lot of good covers on the record. I mean, at least the song choices, the performances aren't all up to snuff. $1,000 Wedding, the
Greg yeah, that's Carson the other one on I really like too. Actually. But he does songs he's done before and done them better. He does We Don't Run. I mean, I love the original version of that song. This isn't going to top it.
In Nashville, Solomon Burke's just put out a new record. What's that CD all about, Meredith?
That's right. Well, Solomon Burke, great R&B gospel singer, never, unlike Willie Nelson, never had any big hits. But he brought country into R&B really early on. And now he's gone to Buddy Miller's house, who's this producer, guitar player extraordinaire, lives in Nashville, does all these home brewed recordings, and done a bunch of country covers, called it Nashville. He covers Tom T. Hall here and Dolly Parton and Gillian Welch. And his voice is so big that some of it sounds really weird. Like the quieter songs don't really work as well. The kind of reverb on it's weird. It's like his voice is too big for the room or something. But the more upbeat stuff works really well, stands up to him. And if you've ever seen Solomon Burke play, he sits on a golden throne. He wears a cape and has a scepter and a crown. He's really theatrical.
Yeah,
and he's got an incredible voice. And I really like the Springsteen song that he does here, Ain't Got You, with Gary Talent on bass. And great dobro player Al Perkins there. And Sam Bush playing fiddle. Like it a lot.
Oh, sweet. Let's give a listen. The CD's called Nashville. Solomon Burke comes out September 26th.
I got fortunes of heaven and diamonds and gold. I got bonds, baby, that the banks can't hold. I got a house across the country, honey, end to end. Everybody I know wants to be my friend. I got a richest baby, any man can see. But there's one thing I ain't got, baby, we both agree. I ain't got you.
Solomon Burke, new CD. Just so you know, all of these songs will be up on the web in their entirety at npr.org/allsongs. So stop writing the letters and go click on the link. And don't get angry at us. We're going to get through a whole lot of music. There's great new music coming out in the fall, including a new record by Jim James and his great band, My Morning Jacket. And that is that's not a studio album, is it, Tom?
No, it's a live record. They've put out four studio albums now with several different band incarnations, and it was probably time for them to do a live record. It accompanies a concert film directed by Sam Erickson,
yeah.
And it's maybe the best way to experience them. If the studio records are good, but you hear it better live.
And we have a live concert online that folks can listen to as well. Although I'm interested in this film, I thought the last record, the studio record though, was a very successful CD, Tom.
Yeah, I like it.
Z.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I like the one before it.
Right.
And actually, the one that they recorded in 2001 called At Dawn, which was actually the second record, has great songs on it. And there, Jim didn't quite have it figured out about how to present the vocals yet. So the songs from that record that are on this are great. And that was the one I was going to vote for to play. It's a song called The Way That He Sings.
From the new CD, Oconocos, it comes out September 26th. Let's listen to My Morning Jacket, the band from Louisville, Kentucky. We'll be right back. How come every time I hear this band, I think of The Who? What is it?
Jim James is all over the place, too. He's all over the new Bobby Bear Jr. record.
That is right, great. Nice.
Sounds really good.
Opening for John Prine, doing a bunch of solo shows with John Prine.
And they've really become a fixture in the jam band scene. I saw them at a festival earlier this summer, and they really just blew just about everybody else on the bill away. They've really got their live show down. The one thing about this live record, though, that disappointed me a little bit is they've become known for some pretty great cover versions, which are floating around the internet. The bands Make No Difference, they've been doing Loving Cup.
Right, and
Stones.
None of them are on. I wonder why that is. Why are none of them on this?
I don't know.
There's no cover.
They want
cover
the copyright on. Money.
Probably.
Oh, come on.
No fools.
No, I can't possibly mean that.
Anyway, that's what the internet's for, kids.
So, Will Hermes, what'd you bring to the table today?
So, a record that just came out from a Chicago rapper named Lupe Fiasco I've been waiting for a while. And Chicago is the source of a lot of pretty great rappers over the last few years. Kanye West, of course, Rhyme Fest, who's a pal of these guys. But earlier this year, a single came out by this guy, Lupe Fiasco, called Kick Push. And I know there are a few hip-hop records scheduled to come out by the end of the year, a new Jay-Z, a Young Jeezy, but Kick Push, for my money, is probably going to stand as the best hip-hop song of the year. And I love it. It's about a kid who's a skateboarder who learns how to skateboard, and he's sort of masters it, but he's kind of alienated. And then he meets this girl who he's feeling pressured by because he wants to devote himself to his art, but then she says that she's a skateboarder too, and they meet in a parking lot. It's very I don't do it justice, but that single obviously made people see dollar signs, because the way that it sort of brought together black and white aesthetics, I thought, would make a record producer say wow. And the record was finished, it was leaked, they pulled it and went back to re-record it, there have been a bunch of mixtapes, so it's taken forever, and the final product is a little bit of a mess. Actually, there are some great songs on it. He's a really thoughtful and passionate rapper, but you can sort of feel that there are like a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Boy, what is it about major label rap records that are like that anymore? It's like as soon as it gets into that world where they see dollar signs, whatever great thing was at the beginning is gone or gets trampled.
I think the major labels still put out more good rap records than the indies, and I'm a big indie rap guy, but, you know.
Well, it's
Roots album, that underrated Outkast album, which is really great and is all over the place.
The new one?
Records
Idle
you can
one?
Listen
love
to
it.
From beginning to
love
end
it.
Are rare, though.
Love it.
Well, before we get too far from Lupe Fiasco,
I'll take Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah, I was going to say.
As far as Atlanta sort of hip-hop records go. Anyway.
Let's give a listen to a cut off of this album called Food and Liquor by Lupe Fiasco. The song is called He Say, She Say.
To be your father, he's your little boy, and you don't even bother. Like brother without the R, and he's starting to harbor. Cool on fool for thought, but for you he's a starver. Starting to use red markers on his work. His teacher said they know he's much smarter, but he's hurt. Used to hand his homework in first, like he was the classroom starter. Burst of tears, let him know she sees. Nice fighting in class. Got a note last week to say might not pass. Ask me if his daddy was sick of us, cause you ain't never pick him up. You see what his problem is. He don't know where his papa is. No positive male role model to play football or build railroad models. He's making a hole and you've been digging it, cause you ain't been kicking it since he was old enough to hold bottles. He wasn't supposed to get introduced to that. He don't deserve to get used to that. Now I ain't asking you for money or to come back to me. Some days it ain't sunny, but it ain't so hard. Just breaks my heart when I try to provide. And he say my
hey, well, those strings, are they loops or are they... And were they, do you remember if they were on the original leaked version?
There's a big chunk of a sample from a Burt Bacharach song. Probably sounds familiar.
That's the last that was.
The Last One to Be Loved. And the producer on that. Dionne there are a whole Warwick bunch of producers. Yeah, prolific. A bunch of young producers. I was expecting it was going to be a lot of Kanye West productions, but actually just one song, The Cool.
Okay. A new record comes out by Hold Steady. Robert Christgau, you've been writing and thinking about this record, and you've been following this band a long time.
Right, since they were Lifter Puller. Another storyteller from the Midwest, Craig Finn,
Minneapolis.
Very Catholic guy, went to BC, was in a band called Lifter Puller, sounded a little like Springsteen then, moved to Brooklyn, took one of the guys, sounds more like Springsteen now. Very, very wordy songwriter, and his words are good. He's like a rapper in that way, you know. Popcraft is about concision, but Craig Finn is a very verbose guy, and his words keep you interested. This record is "The Boys and Girls in America" is a Jack Kerouac quote. It's his first album for Vagrant, which is an emo label where Paul Westerberg, another Minneapolis guy, now also resides. I don't think it's as strong. He's put out 3 albums in 3 years, and they're all good, and that's quite an accomplishment. This one's not quite as good as Separation Sunday last year, but it's real good. My favorite song on it is the only one that's about the rock and roll lifestyle. I mean, he mentions being in a band every once in a while. That's another thing I like about this record. Lots of stories. None of them are about how terrible it is to be in a band, because it isn't really so terrible.
Yes, it is.
Hold it. Robert, what band were you in?
Never. My favorite song on the record comes toward the end, sort of, although when he's already sort of got you interested, it's called Chill Out Tent, and it's about two people who go to a rock festival and end up in the chill-out tent. One of them is a Mook, the other is a Bowden girl.
Great. This record comes out October 3rd by Hold Steady, Boys and Girls in America. Let's hear it.
There was a stage in a PA up in western Massachusetts, and the kids came from miles around to get messed up on the music. And she dropped down from Bowden with a carload of girlfriends to meet some boys and maybe eat some mushrooms. And they did, and she got sick. Now she's pinning way too shaky. She don't want to tell the doctor everything she's taken. The paramedics hovered over like a somber morning family. They gave her activated charcoal. It flooded her with saline. He'd been to school but never finished. He'd been to jail but never prison. It was his first day off in forever, man. The festival seemed like a pretty good plan. Crew some chicks and get a suntan. And his friend gave him 4, but he said only take 1. But then he got bored and he ended up taking all 4. Ah, so now my man, he ain't that bored anyways. The paramedics found him. On the side of the stage,
everything was spinning.
Robert, I don't know why, but I had this image of
so
of,
sweet.
Of,
it's really, I love that song. It's great.
It is great. I had this image of this band getting together with Eddie Argus from Art Brut and doing a song together. I think they ought to meet one another.
Yeah, right. Very similar times.
Oh, goodness. That's good. That's good. The whole steady. Let's go to Philadelphia. Tom Moon sitting there with a new record, and I wouldn't have expected this one, a new record from Beck. What's up with this record?
Very quick, huh? While he was making Guero, he was also working on a bunch of other songs that sort of got shelved, and apparently when he and Nigel Godrich, his producer, got back together, they revisited some of that stuff and put some fairy dust on it, and it's called The Information.
Huh. Now, this isn't a Rejects record? No, yes? What do you think?
I like it actually better than Guero. I think it's stronger writing, and it has just a little touch of that bittersweetness or the melancholy thing that was in Sea Change.
I love that record.
I thought Sea Change was maybe the best thing he's done in years, and this has some of the choruses have a little bit of that in it. And the usual sort of absurd stream of consciousness stuff and the usual weird images. They've also done this crazy thing, which I think a lot of people are starting to do, where the CD will come with a DVD of homemade videos, one for each track. I don't know. I'm anxious to see that. I only have the audio.
Right.
You're really anxious to see
videos.
You're going to watch all those homemade videos?
There's a couple that actually, you know,
must really think Beck is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the homemade videos is made by Michel Gondry, and when you have great filmmakers who are making your homemade videos, that helps a little bit, too.
What do you want to hear, Tom?
Oh, God, anything, really. Cell Phone's Dead. There's a song called Cell Phone's Dead.
That's
pretty great.
And I threw it away. Been a long time since the federal dime made a jukebox sound like a mirror of mine. To calm my worries, fix my thoughts, fool my hopes like a juggernaut walks. Now let down souls can't feel the rhythm. Sorry, entertainers like aerobics victims. Hybrid people light a wooden matchstick. Toxic fumes in the burning plastic. Beats all broken, bones are spastic. Robots talking with a southern accent. Voodoo curses, Bible tongues. Voices coming from the mangled lungs. Need some grit, some get down shit. Don't need a good reason to let any for real.
Radio's cold, so does my back then.
All the damage felt like a laser manifesto make a mannequin melt. Those people phone it in like it's unlimited minutes. Going through the most just to save the bill.
Robert Christgau, I noticed a tinge of, I don't really like Beck too much before we started.
I don't really like Beck, but that's not really what I was complaining about. I was complaining about this video's idea. Yeah. What I really don't like is those double discs that have DVDs on the other side and they make you pay $22 or whatever they make. Consumers pay for them?
The dual disc.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What a ripoff.
Weren't CDs a consumer ripoff from the get-go?
We fought the prices down, and they're fighting them back up again. And
this visual stuff,
I like music. You know,
trying to combat file sharing because they're trying to give people something that they can't get from just pulling this stuff off of file sharing.
It's called added value now.
It's just baloney.
Baloney. I mean, I'm interested in the record, the music. I like music.
But when you had the record cover in your hand and you could open up a gatefold and postcards or pictures or whatever would fall out and you could just hang out with it, did that matter to you? Because I miss that stuff. An artist can work with a company or another artist in putting a cover together. And now they have a different medium. They can work with a visual artist. Sean Lennon, as Tom Moon was saying, they get their favorite filmmakers together to make films. What's weird and wrong about that? The record cover wasn't about the music, but it was about everything about the feeling of an artist.
One thing I think is weird and wrong about it is that I think in general, although there are exceptions to every generalization, music is best when it is conceived to be just music.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. And if you conceive it for something else, then you're going to mess it up.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't even like to read lyrics. I just like to listen.
But only after I've heard it about five times. First, I love having the lyrics there to sort of help me focus in.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like. I certainly never read them first time.
It's two different things. I think this Beck record, which I really like, I think the production by Godrich is really psychedelic, more interesting than the production he did on either Sea Change or Mutations or Paul McCartney's record, for
or the Tom York.
But you can listen to this record as a record, or, which I'm sure a lot of computer users will do, you shove the DVD version of the record in, and then you have your little screen playing the video, and it's another way to enjoy it.
Does anyone know if people actually spend their time doing this stuff?
I wonder about that.
I do constantly.
Yeah. Well, I looked at a packaging of a record. I mean, it weighed a lot. It was a Joanna Newsom record, which was just gorgeous packaging. She is an artist that I have really a lot of trouble loving, and you.
Oh,
I think
Bob.
You either love her or hate this person.
I love her too.
Tell me about your passion for Joanna Newsom, each and every one of you.
Me,
Robert Christgau, you tell me.
The kind of person I have no interest in this kind of person. The Tori Amos, the freak folk, Kate Bush, I really have to work at. For some reason, and I do not know what it is, she is so kooky and so talented that she just wins me over. She's completely weird. And, you know, so who is she on this road? Jim O'Rourke, Steve Albini, Van Dyke Parks. All of those people have a very, very high hipster ranking and not always such a great success. They all sound good on this record. Van Dyke Parks is completely outdoes himself.
Van Dyke did the orchestrations on this record.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
That may be the best thing about the record right there.
I agree. I think, well, plus Newsom's kooky vocals, her hooks. She's very musical. She's just very She plays a harp. I mean, really, folks, there are not many harp players I'm very interested in. And she makes it sound great. You know, it seems to me her talent's undeniable. You can hate her. I can understand that because I almost would, but I don't.
Okay. Let's listen to Joanna Newsom. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask you when you put this record on.
Good question.
A song called Emily from the CD. It's called what?
God, I hate this song.
Okay.
I like it. It's what is YS? How do you pronounce YS?
It's pronounced Is. Vis.
Vis.
Okay. Not Pretentious Music comes out November 14th. Joanna Newsom.
Not at all pretentious.
The meadowlark and the chimney and the sparrow said to the sky in a flying spree for the sport of the pharaoh. Little while later, the Pharisees dragged a comb through the meadow. Do you remember what they called up to you and me in our window? There is a rusty light on the pines tonight, some corn wine, Lord, or bones of the birches and the spires of the churches jutting out from the shadow. The yoke and the axe and the old smokestacks and the bale and the barrel.
One of the nice things about LPs is you could always up the speed, you know?
Oh, is that what you would do to poor Joanna Newsom?
I'm sorry.
I was thinking about Van Dyke Parks' work with Victoria Williams, so he clearly likes kooky women.
Well, you know, Bob, you were asking, when do you put this on?
Yes.
Well, it's not background music.
Right.
And I'm not going to claim that it compels me so much that I've got to play it every day.
Sure.
What I am going to claim is that whenever I do put it on or somebody else puts it on, I say, boy, that's really unusual and really kind of cute.
It's charming, really.
Yeah, and she really has a way with a melody. Her first record had shorter
songs. On that song.
This one just has five songs, right, Bob?
That's right.
And they're,
that's right.
All really long.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes, all 10 minutes plus.
Well, I respect you. I'm going to go and spend more time with this. I tried last night, just couldn't.
Do you like the first one?
I had similar trouble, and I must say that
we should do the first one first. This one's harder than the first one.
And Will and I, we did a piece, Will and I, for All Things Considered, and we had a Joanna Newsom who was about a whole bunch of old folk music and how it's interweaving with newer music, and we played a little Joanna Newsom, and I can't tell you the letters we got, and people would come in running into the studio, what is this?
What, so, hating it or loving it?
Not
hating
loving it.
Yeah. No, I have yet to come to Freak Folk fully, I have to say.
Having seen her perform in Brooklyn a few weeks ago and outside, and just her and her harp brought, I don't know, about 1,000 people to absolute silence. So the people who are into her are very into, almost disturbingly into her.
Meredith Coco. Oakes, The Crane Wife, a new tale told by the Decemberists, a surprising record.
Yeah, well, it's their major label debut.
On Capitol Records.
When an indie band goes major, anything can happen. Decemberists are, it's Colin Molloy and this ensemble of his. You know, he's the boy who spent summers in the library. He's literate and precocious and whimsical, and the songs are always about tragedy.
Major.
Right, you know, drowning, death, all kinds of 19th century fun and havoc. But with all this incredible pop sensibility. And, you know, they're like the cool, brainy indie band to love now. This Crane Wife thing is based on a Japanese folktale. You know, like man finds crane, man loves crane, crane turns into a woman, man loses crane. So it's...
Man mistreats crane.
That's true. He's greedy and, it's a weird story, which Colin Molloy embraces.
And musically speaking, it's quite different. I think at moments I thought I was listening to a Pink Floyd record or in some other kind of progressive rock records, a side of them I hadn't really heard before.
Well, they went for weird. I mean, he says this is our weirdest album, which is an interesting approach when you're going to the majors, so we'll see what happens.
It's also his hookiest album, though. It's got better tunes than any of the others. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the thing about him. He puts these
He's a very
amazing...
good tunesmith. He's a great tunesmith.
Excellent.
He is a fantastic songwriter. Let's give a listen to The Crane Wife. The song, it's the second song on the record. It's got a title that I can't remember because it's way too long. But it's
The Island, Come and
it's
See,
a
The Landlord's
suite.
Daughter, You'll Not Feel the Drowning.
Oh, thanks. Here we go. Could be wrong, but it's about 10 minutes before Colin starts to sing. So,
something like that. So, this is one of two 12-minute songs on this record.
So Terry Knight, our engineer, is going to zip the CD ahead, and let's give Colin Molloy a chance to
I think it's about 7 or 9 minutes in where he really gets his Gentle Giant on, so to speak.
And goes from Pink Floyd to Gentle Giant.
Referring to a great band from England. Let's give Colin Molloy a listen to hear what he's singing about in this song that sounds like it came from a long time ago, but not as long a time ago as some of the lyrics are that he writes about.
I reviewed that record, and I missed that whole prog thing.
Did you fast forward through the 12-minute song?
No. I mean, I think I just lost... I mean, I must have... My mind drifted every time. I played a thing 10 times.
I just can imagine all these, like, these... indie rockers who like embrace the gentle whimsy of the Decemberists putting that track on and just freaking out.
It is truly classic prog rock. It's that little moment there.
Do you remember
the
band?
Big synth and then the little guitar thing coming off of it.
And his high vocals. Yeah, right. That soar which I stratosphere.
Identify with like musical comedy and certain kinds of arch, which I think is right, but it works there
too. Queen or whatever.
There was a group Capitol Records had called Triumvirate. Anybody remember that band at all?
Oh, sure, with a little mouse crawling out of the egg on the cover.
And I think that when Colin Malay and the band went into Capitol Studios, somewhere Triumvirate somewhere and crawled out of one of the holes and said, "Hey, got a song for you." But I like this record a lot. It's a nice surprise, and it's not all quite like that.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of good songwriting.
Good for them. If you're not already getting the podcast of All Songs Considered, you can subscribe and have this downloaded to your computer and carry it along with you. And, of course, we have live concerts. And coming up on October 3rd, our next concert will be with Regina Spektor, a singer I dearly love and
great.
Can't wait to see. And we go to Will Hermes now. What do you have?
Well, I always seem to bring a Brazilian record along whenever we do one of these. it's been a very rich year for Brazilian music. Marisa Monte just released two records simultaneously, yeah. Which are great. But the record that's been really getting a lot of play in my house is a Brazilian record from New York by a group called Foro in the Dark, which have been playing around the city, New York City, since 2002, 2003. Really just a party band playing at this club called New Blue over on Avenue C and really packing him in. Foro is dance music from northern Brazil, and it's a kind of cowboy music as I understand it. And it's really very danceable. These guys have a lot of different day jobs. Smokey Hormel plays with the band, who has played with Beck and David Johansen, a whole bunch of other people. The band's led by this guy, Moro Refosco, who plays the zabumba, which is this big, massive drum that you play with a mallet, which sort of holds down the pulse. And a number of vocalists on their debut record make this kind of notable. Bebel Gilberto who's actually a New Yorker now. And David Byrne, a big Brazilian music fan who's been in New York forever. And he sings on two cuts. This first one is kind of, I don't know what you would call it. It's sort of like the Johnny B. Good, if you would, of Foro by Luis Gonzaga, who is the big daddy of the genre. And the cut is Asa Branca, and it features David Byrne on vocals.
Like this so much. It's a great record. Is the whole thing sort of as upbeat as this feels? This song?
It's very upbeat. Foro is dance music. Yeah. It's party music. And it's a lot of fun.
It's incredible how they managed to get around not having an accordion, because Foro is really accordion music more than anything else. And is there any accordion on this record? I don't think there is, right?
It's all like guitar. I don't think there is. They used to have an accordion player in the band, but for some reason didn't work out. They decided they had all these guitarists, so they gave him his walking
amazing.
Papers.
That's amazing. Yeah, it really works.
Yeah, David Byrne's been busy lately. He's got a piece which is going to premiere next year, which I'm really looking forward to. It's a musical theater sort of opera piece about the life of Imelda Marcos, and I've actually heard some of the music, and it sounds not so promising, but it's pretty great. A lot of it is pretty rocky. It's a real sort of funk rock sort of soundtrack, sort of 80s music, because that was Imelda's era, and a lot of it sung by a young Philippine singer from the group Apsai, who are on Quantum Records. I'm forgetting her name right now, but it's an interesting project. The guy is always up to something.
There's a record soon to come out from somebody who we may know from our past, who's taken on a new name. Let's give a listen to him, and we'll come back and we'll talk about Yusuf Islam and a little bit more about his history.
I like to take a walk out in the midday. Checking life out in the park. I like to take a walk out in the midday. Oh, but avoid city after dark.
An old familiar voice, huh, Tom Moon?
Sort of unbelievable. It's like he picked up right after Is It So or whatever those records were at the end of his secular career. They say this is his first pop record in 28 years.
And, of course, this being Cat Stevens.
This Cat Stevens, right. The record's called An Other Cup. But the artist is known as...
What was that laugh, Robert? Was that you?
I mean, on the one hand, you know, one line, I knew who it was. Right. And that explains a great deal about why Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, is a famous person. He has a very, very distinctive voice.
And he also has
On the other hand, An Other Cup, that is dumb. It's just dumb.
But He is often dumb, but he has a very distinctive harmonic vocabulary, and these songs,
absolutely,
you know, sound exactly, they go, chord sequence-wise, they go exactly the places that T for the Tillerman and the great old records he made go. And if you can overlook the sometimes far-reaching, far-flung analogies and metaphoric leaps, there's some nice playing and nice, beautiful singing. I mean, I like it. I was very surprised. I didn't expect to like it at all.
So, Tom, what's the rest of this record like? Is it a mix of something new? It sure sounds like, you know, the same sort of chord structures he uses on others. Very...
Yes, it's a lot the same. There's
DGA,
a song called,
you know.
There's a song called Whispers from a Spiritual Garden and a song called The Beloved. But there is a cover of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, which is quite interesting.
Not the Animals song.
Yes.
Yes,
oh,
the Animals
he is doing
song.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to hear this right away, and then we'll come back and, if that's okay with you.
Do you understand me now? Sometimes I feel a little mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem a little sad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Well, it sounds like a plea to me. Boy.
Not that it matters as far as like critics go, but who do you think will buy this? Will like Cat Stevens fans buy
it? I think Cat Stevens fans will buy this all day long. And,
that's
and
right.
I hope
and
they enjoy
plenty of
it.
My brother-in-law. He's got the entire catalog. I'm sure he'll go ahead and buy this.
The thing is, I really wish that Van Dyke Parks had done those string arrangements.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well,
he was busy with Joanna, though. Much.
He only likes kooky women, not kooky men.
Will Hermes, who is Niobe?
Niobe is a record that I well, she's not a record. Niobe is a German woman named Yvonne Cornelius, but her moniker, her recording moniker, is Niobe. She's put out a couple of records under her own name. She's done some recording with Mouse on Mars, and she comes from Cologne, which is a big electronic music center of Germany. And boy, there has not been a lot of interesting electronic music in the last year or two. So I always have my ear cocked. And she has a really interesting voice. It reminded me a little bit of Portishead. And it's just one of those small label records that that caught my ear, and I'm loving it from front to back. It's really interesting.
The album's called White Hats. Comes out the end of October.
Let's hear the opening track. It's Give All to Love. It's there's nothing wrong with your speakers if the music sounds a little wobbly. It's supposed to.
Sun on the shimmery wind sky,
great, Will.
it's bathtub music. Music for listening to under the water. But it's on the Tom Lab label, which puts out records by a group, maybe it's just one guy, called The Books.
The Books, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting laptop song.
We love The Books. We've not done The Book. We need to do something about The Books someday. Yeah, fun stuff. So women who sing from the background to the foreground, the harmonies of the Be Good Tanyas I've missed for years, as I haven't recorded. Each of them have done, many of them have done individual projects. I sure fell in love with this band for a while, and I kind of miss them. So how did they do? They got a new record out. It's called Hello Love.
Yeah, Hello Love. These three women from Vancouver, British Columbia, which is really far from the American South and the Appalachian Mountains, which is obviously a lot of the music that inspires them comes from that. I like them because they use that instrumentation, banjo, mandolin, but they play melodies on it. They don't pick traditionally. And they got the Old Crow Medicine Show on this CD. They have Jolie Holland back in the fold for one song.
Be Good Tanya.
Right. She was kind of the one who turned them on to all this stuff. She's from Texas. And in fact, she introduced them to the Obo Martin song, Be Good Tanya, which they named their band after. So she's back here. They cover a Prince song on this. It's, you know, it's what you'd expect from them.
What Prince song?
When Doves Cry.
Let's listen to Be Good Tanyas. I think it's a closing track to the new record called Hello Love.
Yeah, it's a hidden track, actually.
Oh, good. Well, let's see what we can do about finding it.
Fun finding it. Why do we scream at each other?
Crazy Ford, Samantha Parton, Trish Klein, the Be Good Time is.
Wow.
You don't get the harmonies. They're amazing harmonies on that, though. But it is a great cover, and
great.
It sounds
that's
like
a really hard song to cover.
Well, yeah, a lot of those Prince songs are deceptively hard to cover. But doesn't it sound like they kind of recorded it at home? Like a lot like the Solomon Burke record in Buddy Miller's house. It just sounds like a home recording.
Yeah, let's listen to one more. Let's listen to a cut of your choice, Meredith, and then we'll come back.
Okay, this is either Utishania or Opal, depending on if you're looking at the booklet or looking into your computer screen, apparently. And it's the only song that the three of them wrote together. And you can really hear their beautiful harmonies on this.
Great. I look forward to hearing this whole thing. The Be Good Tanyas. And I want to play for you all before we go out here what I think is the quirkiest record I've heard in just ages. And then I won't even say what it is. I'm going to play a little of it, see if you know what it is, and come back and talk about it. Cut one, Hit Hot, my favorite thing to do with a new CD that I get. We know this, what this is yet, anybody? Okay, keep going.
That Lennon soundtrack?
Robert's got the artist right in a way, but keep going.
Oh, is this that Beatles collage
that John Martin did?
Nope.
No. Oh, it's the Pussycats. It's the Walkman.
Yes. I'll play it just a bit more. We'll come back and talk about this.
Wondering I am lost as I travel along white cliffs of Dover. Many rivers to cross.
Well, what a freaky little record. In back in the early 70s, John Lennon, Harry Nilsson got together. Lennon produced a record for Nilsson called Pussycats in their drunken crazed days. The Walkmen, great group now these days based in New York, have captured this record song for song and redid the entire Pussycats record, and it's coming out in the fall.
Yeah, it does delight me that Harry Nilsson's stuff has been rediscovered in the last couple of years. His back catalog's been reissued, and there's some really, really great material.
One more pick. Robert Christgau, you're our newest guest here. We have Meredith Oakes sitting across the table, Will Hermes in Albany, Tom Moon, all writers for NPR, and we welcome you. What have you had to pick, and what should we go out on today?
Don Byron's Do the Boomerang. Now, when I told Tom I was doing this before the show, he moaned, and I know why. I mean, it's a tribute to the music of Junior Walker. Don Byron goes all over the place. You know, he's done a Klezmer record. He just did a record with Bang on the Can. He's very conceptual. So this is another concept, and there's a sense in which, well, Don Byron, the artist, is validating Junior Walker. Thanks a lot, Don.
Yeah, did Junior Walker need any extra outside
right,
validation
no,
is
no,
the
No, but
question.
I'll tell you what does happen here, and I noticed it on Shotgun, the great Junior Walker hit. I mean, he has two pretty good singers doing the Walker vocals. They're more than adequate. And he himself, of course, he can play more saxophone than Junior Walker. He's got many more chops and ideas, but he doesn't have Junior Walker's dirty tone and never would, I suspect. Nevertheless, what happens here is that the drummer on this record, not a name I know, Tom probably does, Rodney Holmes.
Yeah.
He plays the funk beats. He plays real James Brown funk beats behind these songs. When you listen to Benny Benjamin's on the, you know, Benny Benjamin is playing straight ahead. He's a great drummer. It's different to have it funked up. And that was a good musical idea. And that's what attracted me to this record. It was, my second thoughts were, well, I wish that there would be a little dirt in the tone, please.
Yeah, and not so much playing. There's a lot of verbosity where you know, the
Junior
Walker groups were just hitting it straight on, and they never stopped, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of,
hey, Tom, I'm the hitting it straight on man, and you're the verbosity man. So, but in this particular case, I did like what they did with the beats.
So they took this great music from the middle 1960s for the most part, and
James Browned it.
And tributized it.
Well, no. They James Browned it. They changed the rhythm bit. And the rhythms are much more virtuosic, much more post-JB. The rhythms we're now used to, but played very well.
Okay, well, let's go out on this. Thank you, everybody. Robert Kruskow, pick us a cut to go out on.
Play Shotgun.
Might as well. Thanks, everybody. Let's listen to Junior Walker's Shotgun, done by Don Byron. I'm Bob Boylan, our host. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm tired. Our producer is Robin Hilton. Our engineer is Terry Knight. It's All Songs Considered.
I said it's crying. Thank you.